97.5 The Fanatic.
First week is not in the books yet till you actually do the Friday show. So welcome aboard, John Kincaid Show, here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We thank our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters for bringing you the 6 a.m. hour, the JK Show. Bradford White, here for the pro. And you need hot water, by the way. If you don't have hot water, you are craving it. I did not have hot water for a time yesterday, and I was craving hot water. But they fixed it. They fixed it. So, Bradford White Water Heaters, many people appreciate your fine work all around town. As we get started this morning, by the way, you can make an appointment early on if you are up early with us because you may be going into work or you may be doing something else. That Shaquille O'Neal will make his first appearance here on the John Kincaid Show today at 9:10. So make an appointment. Make sure you got the app up. Make sure you're streaming. Make sure you're using Alexa. Make sure you're watching on YouTube. He will not be with us. He is in Atlanta. But I begin. The dynamic between New York and Philly's always bothered me. The talking point that the bitter hatred between the fan bases. I can tell you this. I can sense within this room that there are some people who have some of that venom for New York. I personally haven't felt it. Because in my Philly sports fandom life, the Sixers have always been better consistently than the Knicks, except for a few blips on the radar. The Flyers are usually better than the Rangers. The Phillies have had more success than the Mets. And the Eagles, for whatever reason, despite the Giants' success, have usually beaten up on the Giants. The Giants don't beat the Eagles a lot. But the news yesterday, and I heard it break on Anthony Gargano's show here on The Fanatic, seeing the Mets free spending, grabbing star talent, while the Phillies organization cries poor mouth annoys the hell out of me. It angers me when entities run sport teams like they're a corner grocer. They are trying to spin you a tale of like they're in financial hardship. When you know the escalation of the value of franchises more than offsets the idea that they're losing some money because of something like a pandemic. The Mets and Steve Cohen are doing all the things that Philly fans were promised when John Middleton was put in charge of this franchise. But something's changed. If you don't want to run things like a big league operation, it is time to head back to less risky investments. Because right now, it appears that Middleton wants to run the Phillies like an investment property. This isn't a shore house, dude. This is something that everybody in this town cares about. And watching the Mets be smiling doesn't make me happy. That's where we begin the 6 o'clock hour. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, and the coach, Eric Camille, making sure we are on the rails. Bob, I saw Jamie's reaction to the Mets yesterday. And I don't know about you with venom for New York. I've never felt it. I've never felt it because I always think that Philly's has pretty much had hand in sports, except for the Yankees. And I always think of the Phillies competing with the Mets, not the Phillies competing with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Except for 2009.
Yeah, I've never felt it either. And you and I have been following Philly sports even longer than Pat and Jamie. I never felt that contentiousness with, oh, you got to beat New York, New York, New York, of any of the teams. You laid it out there perfectly. Never had that kind of, it's only been lately, and Jamie, I don't know if you agree with me or not, it's only been lately that real Phillies-Mets thing, maybe it was like 07 when the Phillies and 08, the Phillies had to beat the Mets, and Jimmy Rollins said what he said, that I really felt a connection of Philly versus New York, but it's never really been all that prevalent to me.
The venom that appears to be seething from Jamie regarding the Mets, is the venom that you feel, though, is it directed towards the hometown team?
Yes.
Because that's where mine's directed.
Oh, absolutely. John Middleton is on my last nerve already right now. This is a guy back in, what, 2010 said, I want my damn trophy back. And now, frankly, you're the fourth, your playoff drought is the fourth longest in sports. This is a decade now we're going on. They haven't been over 500 in a major market with the amount of money that Johnny Cigars has to not make the playoffs? Come on. What the Mets are doing is right. I mean, Steve Cohen money isn't an issue, but the Nationals got better. You know, sneaky Josh Bell. The Marlins always give you a problem. Now you have to worry about the Mets, and we all know what the Braves are.
You didn't mention the, you know, the gold standard franchise in the division just continually.
Yeah.
And they tore down for like 2 years.
They have a farm system.
Yeah.
It's this thing called a farm system where they're able to bring players up from their minor leagues and they contribute. It's amazing.
Here's how far ahead the Mets are of the Phillies right now, and it's really bothering.
Oh, wait till George Springer signs.
I don't think he's signing them.
No?
In reading all the Lindor stories yesterday and all, and looking at all the headlines nationally, almost to a T, all of them were, what are the Mets going to do next after making this blockbuster trade? And now, what is Cohen going to do next? And you're like, and at least in my mind, next? Chris, when are the Phillies going to do something first?
Now, if you're talking about the Mets now stepping up, and you've taught, we already know what the Braves are.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling I'm worried about Pat Egan because I know he's an investor.
Yeah, I'm worried too.
You got to be worried.
Well, the Mets are my most hated team in sports.
They're your most hated.
Not even close.
They're close for me.
So for your generation, you guys.
I went to university with a lot of New Yorkers.
Okay.
And living amongst them, watching games with them, you learn to hate them pretty quickly.
Yeah. I'm worried about you though, Pat, because you, you like to get out there to Phillies games.
I do.
And you invest in the team.
I do. I have season tickets, but I don't know if I'll be doing that if JT Realmuto doesn't come back and John Middleton, as Jamie alluded to, Johnny Cigars decides to be cheap. I mean, Steve Cohen came in with his money and he's buying low because every team is crying poor. He's getting a steal on these two guys for giving up nothing. And it's amazing that he's able to do that. And Bob's right. It was like, what are they going to do next? And we're sitting here twiddling our thumbs as the rest of the division gets good. And the Braves are only going to get better because their farm system's always great.
Okay, can I tell you this? I will tell you right now, you all in this town and on this radio station, everybody's clamoring for Realmuto to be signed. JT, I'm going to tell you right now, the contract will end up being bad.
Yeah, most likely.
If you sign him, if you sign him, the contract at some point is going to end up being an albatross that everybody will get amnesia. Because I know Philly listening to it enough. Everybody clamors. Sign the guy. At some point, history tells you it is not good to sign a 31-year-old catcher.
Yeah,
big money.
If there's a substantial price tag, which there will be. And yeah, there's real. And if it goes to 6 years, you're going to probably eat two and a half years.
I think you probably eat 2 to 3.
Yeah. Well, you know, if the designated hitter comes into effect, that's a back end thing that you really have to look at,
which will probably come into effect,
in the negotiation for
the next collective bargaining agreement, that will probably come in.
Yeah, and first base. I mean, we don't know what Rhys Hoskins is. Are they going to sign him?
Oh, I know what he is.
Well, okay, but are they going to sign him to a long-term contract? Yeah, that's my point. Like, he's not above being replaced.
No, he's not.
There you go. I mean, it could be like a Joe Mauer situation where they take him from behind the plate and put him at first base.
It could be, and that could absolutely work, or it could end up being something that you're flipping. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
And New York is in our minds this morning, too, though, because also the Sixers end up with a positive test. Seth Curry, a positive test. So now the Sixers had to spend an extra night. I don't know if they stay in Brooklyn or they stay in Manhattan. I don't know where they stay when they're up there. But they have to stay an extra night.
Yeah.
There's a Best Western that's pretty nice.
I think they're in Manhattan.
Yeah, I think they're in Manhattan.
So, I mean, the Sixers have to stay because Seth Curry has a positive test.
It was the only positive thing that came out of last night, John. That's for certain.
That was terrible.
It was so bad. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching the game. And look, here's how I got to tell you this because we're getting to know each other. I grew up coaching and a big part of my basketball history before covering Sixers in college and all that, and still is the high school game where it's 32 minutes. I went to a high school that is still a really, really good basketball team where every play, every possession, you break down every time. I even watch a 48-minute game like that in the NBA. I break down every little thing. That's a weak pass. That's this. That's that. So I watch games differently. I was getting so aggravated last night until, and I told you this morning when we came in, and this is the God's honest truth. I turned to Donna while we were watching the game, and I said, something's going on. She's like, what are you talking about? I said, look how diligent they're being with their masks all of a sudden. everybody on the bench, everybody, nobody, you weren't seeing any. As soon as guys came off the floor, boom, masks. I said, I think something might be going on. Kind of blew it off, and sure enough, positive test day. As ticked off as I was at their performance last night, and I was ready to come in here all, you know, with everything ablaze, I kind of give them a pass that they got word during the first quarter
so
that
they got
somebody
distracted.
I think so. But it's not. Believe I am not making excuses. That was horrible last night. But Doc Rivers watching him, I think he was like, okay, this is the effort you guys are giving. He still played Simmons 31 minutes. Yeah. Still played Embiid 29 minutes. I thought it was a go ahead. You want to play like ass? You're still going to stay out there though.
Spring Garden Lending specializes in bridge loans that help you acquire, rehab, construct, and refinance your investment properties. It's Spring Garden Lending. They're faster than a bank, and they are less expensive than alternative lenders. Let's head to the corner.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
It's not really a corner either, and someone pointed out, one of our YouTube viewers pointed out to me that you're sort of not in a corner.
You can't put Bobby in a corner.
Man, okay.
And I hate that movie.
You really hate that movie. Yeah. So do I. Ben Simmons, the most confounding athlete that this city's seen in a while? Or is he overanalyzed?
No, I'll go confounding. And yesterday, a report came out that an NBA scout says he'll never get to that next level because of his work ethic.
What?
Yeah, I kind of challenge that a little bit.
Yeah, don't believe the social media.
Like, unless things have drastically changed in the 3 years that I haven't been around the team, Ben Simmons was one of the hardest and most consistent workers I ever saw, and I'll tell you a story about it. These guys have heard it before. When Ben Simmons was out with his foot injury, they had a practice one day, and practice was done, and the media had left, and Brett Brown and I were standing there talking, and I just said, you know, we hadn't seen or heard of Ben Simmons because he's out with an injury. I just said, how's he making out? What's he up to? He goes, you want to know what he's up to? Come with me. Opens a door to their new facility, to the gym, and there's Ben Simmons busting his butt, lifting weights with no shirt on, and looked like a completely different person than the one that I hadn't seen in a month and a half. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I gotta get stronger. And like buffed up to 250 pounds. I've seen him at practice. I've seen him after practice. I know we see the Instagram shooting and stuff, and we all kind of blow that off, which is fine. But trust me, this guy is not going to get better because of a lack of work ethic. If there is a reason, it's because of a lack of basketball IQ.
Last night, if we had a secret camera on Jamie Lynch in your living room. What were you saying about Ben Simmons' performance last night?
Why can't you score 11 points?
You said something a little more colorful than that. I guarantee.
There might have been a couple expletives thrown in. Look, I love Ben Simmons. I've defended him at every corner. I recognize the defense. I recognize the passing. I recognize the just physical freak of nature that he is. Dude, it's year five. You have to... If it wasn't for Tyrese Maxey last night, Shake Milton, they're not even in the game. Like, then Ben Simmons has to be able to carry the team at points.
When you say you love Ben Simmons, why?
Because I always thought the next step was coming, and that's being a better scorer.
So you love him because of something that you think he can be. You don't love him because of what he is.
I can't love when he irritates me.
You're like one of those
girlfriends. Yeah.
That thinks I can change him.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think he's never going to change.
Go ahead.
I'm of the belief that when people admire someone or like someone because of what they think they can be.
Well, he's already...
It's like an investment property.
He's already third team All-NBA, and it's just like, dude, if you can just develop a mid-range game, you're top 10.
I mean, I see in Pat Egan, I tell him all the time, I see this diamond that we're polishing.
Yeah, but in year five, if the diamond isn't polished, you'd probably go try to find another diamond, right?
But he loves Ben Simmons. When I hear that... By the way, I've heard that from a lot of Sixers fans. Oh, yeah. I love Simmons, but...
Well, and part of the reason why is because of the fact that there is a contingent of the fan base that when he didn't turn into Magic Johnson year one, they couldn't stand him. So you got guys that defended him so much that became such big fans of Ben Simmons. Like, I'm one of those guys where I defended him so damn much that I'm going to die on Ben Simmons' hill. But I also recognize that he needs to work on his game. But if this is what we get from Ben Simmons, it's still a pretty damn good player.
It is.
He just had a really bad night last night.
It is, but Bob... great players or players that end up being beloved, are they beloved because of one skill set? His defense is spectacular. I mean, it's
yeah, and that would be the one skill set that people will not hold on to. He could be a great defender, but of all the skill sets in basketball, shooting, passing, dribbling, whatever it may be, defense comes like really low. It's like, you know, are you an ass guy or are you a chess guy? And somebody says, oh, I like feet. Like, you're not going to hold on to that forever.
I'm talking to Rex Ryan.
So here's my problem with not only just Ben Simmons, but also Joel Embiid. The Sixers need a coach that can teach these guys to finish going at the rim. If you watch Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons at 7'2 or whatever and 6'11, these guys go to the rim like they're 6'5 players. Joel Embiid constantly, you don't see him power. You see slams when nobody's around. Rarely do you see slams over people.
Never slams in traffic.
No. And it's finesse. Everything's finesse with the two of them. They have to learn a physicality. The way Ben Simmons gets over a game last night, like you're talking about, Jamie.
Finish at the rim.
And at the rim. It's not you go up towards the rim and float or back away or finger roll. No. You should be finishing at the rim. That's where your strength goes to, and that's what puts the pressure on a defender.
There was the one play last night that stood out to me. He had Jared Allen kind of on his hip. And he, like, triple pump
faked. Oh, my God.
He ended up getting called for the offensive foul because he hooked with his elbow. Dude, go up and slam the basketball. You're a freak. It just drives me a little nuts.
Let me ask you, though, how much of the poor performance by pretty much everybody not named Shake Milton and Tyrese Maxey had to do with the fact they found out a teammate had COVID?
I said that. And I do think that in the middle of the first quarter when the rumors are going around and it's like, uh-oh, you hearing? I'm sorry, your mind just does go another way. That's why my frustration from last night was knocked down a notch a little bit.
If you're driving less, you could be saving more on your car insurance. I want you to save money with Paper Mile Insurance. You get it from our friends at Allstate. So call a local Allstate agent and get yourself a quote today. The distraction level of that, it's a good, I don't want to say excuse. It is a good point, though.
It's valid, yeah.
To the thing that if somebody is finding out, so.
As somebody that was diagnosed, there is a mental period where you're just like, all right, what the hell does this mean? Am I feeling a sharp pain in my lungs? Who have I been in contact? Like, there is that moment of, oh my God, I have to let everybody know I've seen. You know, so it is like a mental strain on you. So I could see it being very distracting in a game. Well, not sure. To excuse them, but the human nature of that is, holy hell, your mind's not in the right place.
Have your wives ever called during a show?
Yeah. No.
Never called during a show.
I actually got one yesterday.
No, like leaving you a voicemail, like call me as soon as you can.
Luckily, no.
You are lucky.
Yeah.
Why'd you get one?
Like, oh, I've had two in my career.
That'll make your heart stop.
I swear to God, my heart's beating. I thought you meant it just happened to you now.
No. What I'm saying is that
it's that type of, oh my God,
oh my gosh, like what's going on? Which, by the way, I absolutely hate. I'm like, I hate that. Call me.
Oh, it's the
There's
worst.
An emergency.
Oh, somebody on the show is guy guilty of that.
This guy's the worst. At
oh, it's horrible.
Oh, you're pointing a coach?
Yes.
Eric,
you want to
speak for yourself?
He is the king of the call me text.
Okay.
And he knows what he's doing.
Okay, he can't do that.
Yes, he knows.
He knows what he's doing. And I've told him before, every time you text me that, I think I'm getting let go. Every single time.
Call me is not cool.
No.
That's not cool.
Why do you do it?
Coach, what is that about?
Yeah, you guys know the reason why. The reason why is because my phone number's blocked. So if I were to just call you, it comes up as no caller ID, correct?
Okay. Can I hold you
and
in
you
right
might
there?
Not answer it. So yes. I always write. And plus, people today don't just pick up the phone and call people anymore because you think you're bothering them. So what? I text you guys and
I love
and
text,
say,
but don't text vague.
Yeah.
Be specific.
Yeah.
I'm telling you this. You'll send me one text. You will send me one call me text. You will never send me a second one because I will ignore it. I will ignore it because somebody can if you can text me, call me, you can text me, I need to speak to you about this.
Yeah.
Did you follow up with this?
Scheduling question.
Right,
call
or something.
I did. I texted you the other day, John.
And I answered you.
And
right?
I said, can you call me, please?
Can you call me, please?
Yeah.
Well, I knew I wasn't getting let go in the first week. So
I'm never calling you again, by the way.
It's not the first time.
Because you said yesterday you're not a phone guy, and I respect it.
No, but guess what? We had a nice conversation last night, but it was like I'm sitting there watching Sixers and do that, and you checked in on me again. Which I find very kind. Now, Matt Dunn tw-
21 checks in on Twitch. Because if you watch on Twitch TV, search 97.5 The Fanatic or on YouTube. And Matt Dunn 21 checks in and he says, there is a violation in studio.
Ooh.
A sort of a wardrobe violation.
Ooh.
Egan, is it you? No. Jamie, is it you?
It possibly? I don't know.
No.
Okay.
Is it me? No.
I know what it is.
What is
it? Oh, is this the mixing of the brands?
No, I'm not mixing. Okay. Well, Callaway is.
Yeah, it's golf.
Callaway is just a gossip.
Callaway's golf.
I match because I have an Under
Sleek.
I have an Under Armour. I know. It's because I have an Under Armour visor on in the middle of winter.
You're wearing a visor in winter.
Here's the reason. Fair point.
He says, unless you are living in a warm weather climate,
I agree.
Do not use a visor in the winter. And
fair
by the
point.
Way, complete, it is a fair point.
And I don't want to defend myself, but here is my defense.
This should be
I don't
good.
Want to, but I'm going to. Yeah. So I took out, I have a white Under Armour hat. A regular hat. I took it out last night to put on because I have Under Armour pants and Under Armour sneakers on, so you have to wear an Under Armour hat. No, I no. went to put it on, and it had a stain on it. I think one of my kids wore it, and it fell in the dirt. It had a stain on it.
So you wouldn't do that.
So I don't have another. This is a brightly colored shirt.
That's
you have to go with a neutral hat. I didn't really have a neutral. I don't. All my hats aren't unpacked from this rental house where I am. So I had to go on the fly at 3 o'clock this morning.
I need to ask something else. Egan, do you... I shouldn't even have to ask this because I think you are honestly diving headfirst into the dirty hamper to get dressed in the morning. Bob is laying out his clothes.
Yeah, so I was
always doing it. I do it now, too.
I was talking to Connor. Yeah. Connor does that, too.
Because I get dressed in the dark, so I like to dummy-proof it.
Young Connor looks like he sort of is of that... He's one step up from the Egan school.
No.
At this point of being.
No, he's a fashionista.
He's a hipster fashion guy.
He's a hipster.
He's Mr. Tight Pants. He wears the schmedium shirts when he should wear a large. Yeah.
Tight pants, schmedium shirts, yeah.
Tight pants.
He came in.
Tight pants? You're saying Connor wears tight pants?
Oh, he does. He wears tight jeans.
Tight jeans.
He came in the day after Christmas, our first day back from Christmas. He came in dressed like Han Solo. It's on our Instagram account. I put it out there.
Yeah.
Because I go, where's Chewie? Yeah, he's a fashionista.
Okay. Well, the idea being is that I do not lay out my clothes.
It saves me like 5 minutes in the morning.
And I constantly worry about how it looks, especially now that I watch the YouTube channel, 97.5's YouTube channel, go back and check it. And by the way, we've missed 3 breaks by more than 45 seconds this week.
The fact that you're counting is...
That's how... seriously. I mean, that's how messed up this mind is.
Don't miss another one.
We will not hopefully be doing that. We're going to try to keep that cool. Laying out the clothes, though, that is something I've never heard of that.
I get dressed in the dark. Everything's in the dark except for the bathroom light.
Oh, you're not trying to wake up your wife.
Yes.
Okay, now that adds a little bit. I am living by myself.
Yeah, right. I even lay out my underwear and t-shirt, everything.
Oh, yeah, so do I. Socks, underwear, t-shirt, pairs, sneakers,
totally hat. I was about to ridicule, and I shouldn't ridicule. Okay, we've got a lot coming up here on the John Kincaid Show. And by the way, the boss, Chuck, has said, don't call ever. So that is what, don't call me ever. He's told Coach not to call ever. So that is good. Don't leave one of those call me texts for somebody. Our phone number will be open for you, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. If you'd like to do a little Friday conversation, remember, Shaquille O'Neal joins us today at 9:10. So make sure you're back for it if you have to leave us. But a documentary on a guy that I know to be a bit of a turd. We'll get to that. It's the John Kincaid Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Joining us now, a guy I just saw shirtless on FaceTime. His name is Shaquille O'Neal. You may have heard of him. Shaq, are you shaving while I was calling you FaceTime?
No, I was
admiring.
I was dropping the kids off at the pool.
Shirtless.
So you in the whole scheme of things, Shaquille O'Neal joining us here, and we've been partners for a long time, Shaq. And I already, as I come home to my hometown, and everybody is worried about Joel Embiid, and everybody's worried about this Philadelphia 76ers team. People think in this town you're too hard on Joel Embiid, and I try to tell them you love what you see in him, but you want more, right?
Hey, I'm just trying to get what I took away from you guys. I'm trying to get you guys a championship.
You mean when the referees helped you win back in 2000?
You mean the referees that went to your high school? You should have called them.
If we had just paid them a little more. Do you think this Sixers core can win?
I'm hard on Joel Embiid because if he can respond to what I'm saying, because I have the blueprint on what it takes to be a dominant big man, then he will definitely win. Do they have what it takes to win? Yes. They got a great 1-2 punch. Tobias Harris is a great fair scorer, and they got a lot of good others. They just have to really listen and respect Doc, and they have to want it. You know, this is not easy. This isn't something that you can pussyfoot around and win. This isn't cupcakes. This is old stale steak.
Shaq joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. And Shaq, my one partner here, Bob Cooney, I know you've asked Shaq questions over the years.
I have been in a locker room with Shaq over the years, yes.
See, you haven't gotten a glimpse of it, have you?
No.
Just saying. Be careful.
I have not, Shaq. I've kept my head up. But I often think of you, Shaq, when I look at Joel Embiid play, I see such a great finesse game from a 7'2", 280-pound guy. To me, I don't see enough power from him. Do you agree with that? And can he get more power if so needed?
It's not about power. It's about, listen, you got to have a lot of finesse, right? But it's about strategy. When you're playing against a guy smaller than you, post up. Post up. When you're playing against a guy bigger than you, take him out. Use your finesse. It's good to have a lot of finesse. Tim Duncan had a lot of finesse, but when Tim Duncan realized and recognized that you were smaller, he took you in the post. It's about strategy. You know, you can't win just by having one strategy. And then, you know, him shooting jumpers all the time. I play with a lot of great shooters. Glenn Rice and D. Scott, if they miss two jump shots in a row, they go into the hole. They get into the free throw line. They're going to shoot two free throws, which is similar to shooting a jumper. Then they'll go back out because, you know, once they see it go through the hole, then they'll say, you know what, now I got rhythm. Now I can step out and shoot this jumper. What about strategy?
When the Sixers brought in Doc Rivers, and I started being excited because I said, wow, now they got a coach that I can believe in. Shaq continuously would correct me, the coach doesn't matter in the NBA. We've argued this, and you're the guy who's the Hall of Famer. So, Shaq, why do you believe, tell the people why you believe coaching matters a hell of a lot less than guys like me on Sports Talk Radio think it does?
The only time coaching matters is in crunch situation is if you have somebody that you believe in. If you have a guy that does not panic, if your general does not panic, then the troops don't panic. Other than that, coaches all do the same thing, X and O's, get you ready for the game. But you have to go out and execute. You have to go out and play. You have to go out and act your will on the game. You have to say, you know what, forget what coach is saying. Give me the ball, Ben. I'm going to work. Give me the ball, Ben. They're going to double. I'm going to kick it out to Tobias. Hey, Tobias is hot right now. I'm not going to shoot him. I'm just going to dribble, draw, make sure he gets the ball. You have to do that. You have to lead your team, period.
Shaq, I want to make sure you meet Jamie. Part of our team here, Jamie Lynch, and Jamie, you would have been booing Shaq back in that finals. In fact, you probably called him names as a young kid.
Probably.
No, but back
you broke my heart, Shaq. Shaq, last night you got a first row seat to Joel Embiid playing on a back-to-back game, which isn't something we're accustomed to. Is playing on a back-to-back a mental thing or a physical thing?
It's a little bit of both, but this is the formula you have to have for winning the championship. Back-to-back, schmack to schmack. Play dominant at home, right? Let people know you can't come in here and win. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat and stay 500 above the road. They're supposed to beat that team last night. Now, you always have to stick to the formula. Now, if you get off the formula, the next formula is we can't lose two games in a row. they're fine. They're 7-2. They didn't play well last night. Now we have to say to ourselves, we can never lose two games in a row. If you stick to that formula, what that does, that gives you the blueprint of winning. It gives you the success of winning. It gives you the feeling of winning. And then if you can win in pressure situations, you can play well. You know, they're right there. They're right there. They got to get through Boston. They got to get through Brooklyn. It's not good. They got to get through Miami Heat. They got to get through Milwaukee, of course. And that's what sports is all about, competition.
Shaq, how big an acquisition was Daryl Morey joining this organization?
I don't know who Daryl Morey is. I know he was with the Rockets. I don't know what he's capable of, but I'm used to guys like Jerry West. I'm used to guys like Jerry West that can, you know, just see things, imagine things, you know, put things together. You know, Daryl had some success in Houston, but you want some success or you want the real success? I don't praise guys that have some success. Like, everybody is jumping on me because they think I'm jumping on Rudy Gobert. Do you understand what I'm saying with Rudy Gobert?
Yeah, absolutely. I know how to speak Shaqology, though.
Exactly.
Well, there you learn it over time. Shaq, I got to tell you that there's the third member of the team here, too, that I want to make sure introduce you to, Pat Egan. He's the guy I told you about. He's the guy I told you when we said, Shaq's like, do you have a good team? Because he says always, it's not about you, it's about your teammates.
Sure.
Not being able to dish it. And I told you about Egan. And I just said that he's the last member he's got to say hello to you here.
Yeah, I'm the Mark Madsen of the team, Shaq. but when in terms of the Sixers, when you're looking at James Harden over in Houston, a lot of Sixers fans are on the fence about trading Ben Simmons for James Harden if that were on the table. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it and if you would do it.
First of all, Pat Egan sounds like a Hall of Fame high school coach name.
Wow, yes it does.
Well, I'm about 5'3", so I don't think so.
Second of all, would I trade him? The answer is no. And this is why. Ben Simmons is younger, more athletic, and he plays the game the right way, the Philadelphia way. Big, strong, runs hard, passes the ball. James Harden is stuck in his ways. He's going to dribble, 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 dribble. That's going to take Joel Embiid away from the ball. Now imagine Joel Embiid running up and down the court 4 or 5 times without touching the ball. What do you think he's going to do then? You can answer that, Mr. Egan.
Yeah, I
go ahead.
Say it, Pat.
Come on.
Say it.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid. Say it, Pat.
Go ahead. Joel Embiid front 5 times watching a guy dribble between his legs and shoot the ball. What do you think that's going to do to his mentals?
Yeah, he's gonna be James Harden. He's gonna check out, yeah.
And that's the whole problem. That's the whole problem with this is that there's a lot of people wishing that this team would be shaped up differently. That they don't think that the team is currently constructed is ready to win a championship.
I think you guys look good. My favorite guy on the team is Tobias Harris. He plays the right way, plays hard. A lot of people want Ben to shoot threes. You ain't got to shoot threes. He's been averaging 18 his whole career, not shooting threes. Listen, when a guy backs up, run to him, make him play you, draw and kick. That's all you got to do.
Now,
there's a lot of guys that survived in this league that hasn't been able to shoot.
Now, when I was getting ready to choose a new team, Shaq was giving me advice. Like, you know, it's like, where are you going to end up? What are you going to do? So when I was telling about the Fanatic, Shaq, can you give these guys any kind of an idea about sort of cracking the code on me, dealing with me? On it, because these guys got to do it 5 days a week. You and I only had to do it 1 day a week. So,
what I like about you Philadelphia guys is you always say what's on your mind. And John, you always say what's on your mind. So I think you guys are like a great team. Only thing I ask is don't wake me up at 9:21 in the morning.
Wait a minute, though.
The problem at 12 o'clock.
Well, you know what we're going to do? Next time we have you on, we are going to pre-tape it the day before. So thank it's available. How about that? Is that a deal?
Yeah. And you know what? If you do that, I'll give you guys an interview once a month.
Okay, that's
all
a deal.
Good. That's a deal.
Wait, what time does Shaq usually wake up?
Oh, gosh.
12, 1, 2, 3.
Wait, whoa. Wow. I woke you up later than that.
Yeah, you're right.
I've woken him up later than that. He's a night owl. Shaquille, I love you, and I look forward to having you catch up with the John Kincaid Show once a month. That's what we're going to do then. Once a month, we're going to do it. All right, brother?
Yep. I love you guys. Philadelphia, good luck. 76ers, good luck. Hope you guys win it.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Shaq.
All right.
There you go. Shaquille O'Neal. Joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline.
Is that contract binding?
No, it is.
Is that legally binding?
It was already arranged.
All right,
it was
cool.
Already arranged.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.